Turn to Psalm 34. If you're already there, I have a couple of clips that I want to show you. Watch this.
This stuff, some cereal, it's supposed to be good for you. I'm not going to try it.
Let's get Mikey.
Yeah. He won't need it. He hates everything.
He likes it. Hey, Mikey.
Regular, cinnamon, and raisin life. Nutritious, delicious.
Mommy, what does V-E-G-E-T-A-B-L-E-S spell?
Well, honey, that spells...
Vegetables. Oh, wait, I want her to eat it. But I can't lie. Lying's bad. Mommies don't lie. You get grounded for lying. And how am I going to drive the carpool if I'm grounded?
There's a full serving of vegetables in every bowl of Chef Boyardee. And that's no lie. It's obviously delicious. Secretly nutritious.
Hey, buddy.
Dad.
Hey, hon, did you know there's a full serving of vegetables? I was just reading on here that there's a full...
There's a full serving of vegetables in every bowl of Chef Boyardee. Just don't tell them. It's obviously delicious. Secretly nutritious.
Oh, that is so funny. How many of you watched a lot of the commercials at the Super Bowl party? I think that was the main thing. The commercials are so, so funny. How many of you can identify with one of the two characters as far as those children? How many of you can identify with that? Yeah? See, when I was growing up, it was so funny. I would have to identify with the kids that were eating the raviolis that didn't know that there were vegetables in it, because I could spot an onion in whatever it was my dad was cooking a mile away. I could see it. I'm like, this is not going to be a good night because I'm not going to get a chance to eat because he's got onions all in whatever it was he's cooking. Onions all in the spaghetti, or if he's making meatloaf or whatever, there was just onions there. And I'm like, oh, no, this is not going to be good. Not going to be good at all. I can remember going to school, and I would buy lunch at school because, you know, they would have some good stuff, pizza and stuff like that. And I would come home, and Mom would ask me, she'd say, well, what did you have for lunch? And I'm going, well, we had this, and we had that, and then we had this stuff. It was green, and it looked like grass. And I didn't eat it. I didn't like it. I didn't want anything to do with it. See, the key was is that I had not acquired a taste for it. I had not acquired a taste for onions and turnip greens and all that. Now, it's funny because my daughter is the same way. She's exactly like her daddy. We're meat and potatoes. I'm a meat and potatoes boy. She's a meat and potatoes girl. She can spot an onion. If Pam and I are cooking, she can see it a mile away. She knows it's there, so by the time she gets through eating, now she'll eat, but there'll be a pile of onions sitting to the side. It's so funny. Now, on the flip side of that, Alex is like Mikey. Alex is going to jump in there. He's going to try it. He's just going to just bail off right into it. He'll eat, and if he doesn't like it, he won't eat it anymore. But the thing is he's open to at least taste it. Where I, on the other hand, I wasn't even open to tasting it. It just looked terrible. Vegetables just, in general, looked terrible to me. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. But the thing about it is we need to get to a point where we're at least willing to try it. We're at least willing to taste it. We're at least willing to, at some point, experience the things God has for us. Like I said, the table is set. It's full of everything. It's got desserts. It's got vegetables. It's got salad. It's got everything. The main course, fried chicken, oh yeah. But the thing is we get to a point where, you know, I'm going to go, I'm not trying that. But if I would leave myself open enough to say, okay, I'll try it. Now, I've acquired a taste for onions. Yay. I'm telling you. I've acquired a taste for turnip greens. I mean, you get... me a big pot of turnip greens. George, come on now. You know, with some cornbread. I mean, we've really gotten into the Mexican cornbread. Oh, come on. And see, now I love turnip greens. You know, I love salad, where as a young child, you could not get me to touch anything that was leafy like that. I don't care what you put on it. And the big thing was French dressing. Everybody remember French dressing? That was real popular. But see, we got to get to a point where we're at least willing to try that stuff. We're at least willing to try it. Now, Psalm 34, we can all relate, especially Psalm 34, verse 8. What does it say? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, we're going to be looking, and I'm going to start at the beginning of Psalm 34. We're looking at David. This is at a point in David's life where he's pretending to be insane in the presence of Abimelech. And, of course, he gets driven out of town in which he departed. Psalm 34, verse 1, it says, I will praise the Lord at all times. Now, I want to stop right there real quick. And you've got to understand, see, David now is the anointed one. You go, well, what does that mean, anointed one? Old covenant, God chose who he wanted to pour his spirit out into. He poured his spirit into Moses. He poured his spirit into David. David was anointed. And so the spirit was in David. So as we begin to read this and see, understand that we're coming from the perspective of David understands that he is a son of the Father. He is standing in his sonship. Okay? So let's look at that. Let's look at these verses through that perspective. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim with me the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. Now, if he's standing in his sonship, then he already has faith in the Father that the Father is going to what? Protect him. That the Father is going to provide all of his provision. And the Father is going to what? Promote him. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. He delivered me from all of my fears. Now, what is that? What would you think that would be? Protection, promotion, and provision. Probably protection. Those who look at him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his troubles. Saved him from all of his troubles. What do you think that would be? More protection, probably. The angel of the Lord, oh, this is good. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. See, now there's an angel assigned to David that is surrounding him. Through the perspective now that David is standing in his sonship, God has put an angel around him to what? To protect him. Typically, when government officials are assigned a bodyguard, they're of some importance, right? And so there may be some promotion also there for David. As we go on, taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord. Now we see fear the Lord right here. Now that fear is not in the same context of being afraid of the Lord, but that is in context of showing deep respect and deep honor for the Lord. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him, what? Lack nothing. Lack nothing. So, if you fear him, if you show deep respect and honor, and you let yourself be open to him, he's going to provide everything that you need. You will lack nothing. Young lions lack food and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Just full of promotion, provision, and protection. Because David is standing in his sonship. He knows who he is. Now, I pulled this same scripture from the Message. I wanted you to hear this. I love to read over in the Message just to see how some of the wording is used. Listen to this. I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with His praise. I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out. God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Look at Him. Give Him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from Him. When I was desperate, I called out, and God met me. He got me out of a tight spot. God's angels sets up a circle of protection around us while we pray. That is so good. Open up your mouth and taste. Open up your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to Him. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all His goodness. Young lions on the prowl get hungry, but God seekers are full of God. Come, children, listen closely. I'll give you a lesson in God worship. Who out there has a lust for life? Can't wait each day to come upon beauty. Guard your tongue from profanity and no more lying through your teeth. Turn your back on sin. Do something good. Embrace peace. Don't let it get away. God keeps an eye on His friends. His ears pick up every moan and groan. God won't put up with rebels. He'll call them from the pack. Is anyone crying for help? God is listening, ready to rescue you. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, He'll help you catch your breath. Disciples so often get into trouble. Still, God is there every time. He's your bodyguard, shielding every bone. Not even a finger gets broken. The wicked commit slow suicide. They waste their lives hating the good. God pays for each slave's freedom. No one who runs to Him loses out. I just love that. He gives us everything. Point is we've got to get away from the distractions and let ourselves be open to what He has for us and not be afraid to just taste and see that He's good. Just taste. That's all it said. Now, the taste and see that the Lord is good, that context is just to test it. You go in the grocery store, you ever been in a grocery store, especially on the weekends, and the ladies are there, and they're preparing stuff just for you to taste. And if you like it, what happens? I'll take one of those. See, just taste it. He's not saying anything else. Because when you taste it and know that He's good, you're going to want more. You're going to want more. Now we're going to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. This is a really good story. A couple of weeks ago, we were in men's fraternity, and the story of Nicodemus come up, and I just loved it. There were some things that really opened my eyes that I begin to relate to, that I think the majority of us can relate to out of this story. How many of you grew up in church? You've been going to church since you were wee little, every Sunday, Wednesday, so the majority of you. Some of us have not. But you're going to see through this story, Nicodemus gets a taste of something and he just wants more. He wants more of it. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Nicodemus. Nicodemus is considered one of the leaders of the Jewish community. He's on the council with the Sanhedrin. He knows everything there is to know about the Old Testament prophecies. He knows everything there is to know about the law. But yet there have been distractions in his life that you're going to see. But he gets rid of those distractions only to get a taste of who Jesus Christ is. Let's read this. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night. Came to who? Came to Jesus at night. Now let's stop there. Now, Nicodemus is part of the Sanhedrin. He's on the council. That same council that actually sentences Jesus to the cross, he's on that council. But he's coming to Jesus at night. See, Nicodemus has already gotten a taste of who Jesus is, and he says, I need to get rid of the distractions in my life. Well, who at this point is the distraction? Well, it's the rest of the guys he's hanging out with, the Sanhedrin. Because he can't fully experience who Jesus Christ is if he's with the Sanhedrin. They are just distractions to him. Okay? They're the ones who are trying to find fault with Jesus. And Nicodemus is saying, let me just put that away because I've gotten a hold of something that's really, really good and I want more of it. Nicodemus says, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him. Jesus replied, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless someone is born again, you can't even see it right now. Just to get a glimpse of it. But how can anyone be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked him. He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born again, can he? Jesus answered, I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So now Jesus said, if you've not been born again, you can't even see the kingdom. And then now he goes to say, if you're not born of water and Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can these things be? Asked Nicodemus. Now I want to go out on a limb here because we talk about being born again. See, Nicodemus knows everything about what it means to be born again. In the Jewish heritage, there's a lot of times in their life when they are born into something new. Okay? Young men go through the circumcision. They're brought into the Jewish heritage. Then they have the bar mitzvah, where men or young men are brought into manhood. Okay? Then they have what they call, and I didn't know this, called a bat mitzvah, which is for the ladies, where they're brought into womanhood. Okay? So these are all things of being born into. So Nicodemus knows everything about that. When you get married, you're born into a new covenant. Okay? Man and woman. So he knows all about what it means to be born again. So he doesn't understand this, but he's gotten a taste of it, and he wants to know more. Are you a teacher of Israel and don't know these things? Jesus replied, I assure you, we speak what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But you do not accept our testimony. If I have told you about things that happen on earth, you don't believe. How will you believe if I tell you about things of heaven? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And then it goes on to one of our favorite scriptures. So to be born again, to be born of water and born flesh, of spirit. See, for so many of us, I want to talk again a little bit more about the distractions that we face. See, God has laid out everything out for us. He's laid everything there. But if we can break through all the distractions and just get a taste of who Jesus Christ is, then we begin to experience more and more of His goodness, of His grace, of His love, and His mercy. So Nicodemus is able to get rid of distractions. He comes to Jesus, and Jesus gives him more knowledge, gives him more wisdom, shows him what he needs to do. Now, if you go on and read more, Nicodemus becomes one who stands for Jesus. He's the one who questions the actual Sanhedrin to say, is this just of what you're fixing to do to him? See, Nicodemus got a taste, and it began the process of bringing him closer and closer to who Jesus was. Now turn to Mark chapter 17. I'm sorry, Mark 10. We'll be looking at verse 17. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So apparently, this rich young ruler has gotten a taste of something, and he comes to Jesus to ask him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good but one, God. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these from my youth." Then looking at him, Jesus loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But he was stunned at this demand, and he went away grieving because he had many possessions. See, so many times in our lives, we see things and we go, "I'm not going to have anything to do with that." We do servant evangelism here. We go out and we serve people. And one of the things that we do is sometimes we wash people's toilets. And then there's some of us that go, "You know what? I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. There's no way. I'm probably going to catch something." See, for us, it's not standing in the fact that we are sons and daughters, but we're, again, standing as if we're orphans. That I've got to do everything that I can to protect myself. And going out there scrubbing someone's toilet is not a good way of me protecting myself. But if you would just try it one time, you go out on a servant evangelism project and you go and you say, I just want to come in and wash your toilets for you, clean your bathroom. And then you look at what happens to the countenance on their face. And they go, why? And then they get a taste of who Jesus Christ is. Because we're standing in our sonship. Okay? You go, Neil, I don't think I could ever serve in children's church. You know, the kids are just, that's just not who I am. I don't think we, you know, I would be very good at that. Do you know, I understood that God was calling me to be a youth pastor because I served in the nursery at the church that I was in. I was willing to say, you know what, I'm going to just try it. And Pam and I both began to serve in the nursery. And next thing I know, I heard God say, this is where I want you. And it just opened up. And when I got a taste of that, I said, I want more. I want more. I guess it was probably 15 years ago that Pam and I filled out. It's like a character trait. You ever did those things where you take the test and you talk about your character and who you are? And I filled it out, and two things that were on it, and this was 15, almost 20 years ago, that I would be called to serving youth, and I would be a worship leader. And I stand here today because it's not by what I did, it's because I was open to what the Father had. But I was willing just to taste it, just to try it. It's the same thing with serving our children. You try it, and you watch how God will bless you through those little ones. You say, Neil, I'm just not called to missions. I'm just going to stay right here. I like it right here. But I'm not called to go overseas and to go into all these places and live in these third world countries. I just can't do that. I'm afraid. Because why? Because we're acting like orphans and not acting like sons and daughters. How many of you have been on a missions trip overseas? You can't tell me your lives weren't changed when you went. And see, there's many of you here that have gotten a taste of it. And that's what God is calling you. And you go, I want more of that. I want more of that. That's who He's made me out to be. See, the table is set for all of us. And God has everything on it. And He wants you to experience it all. Onions and turnip greens and everything. All of it. Because it's all good. All good. Now, I hope to go, you know, I've been on a missions trip. I've served in children's church. I went out and did servant evangelism. I can't wait to see what else Father has for me. See, I'm excited for you because you're here. That means you've opened yourself up to wanting more, wanting to taste a little bit more. I couldn't let the day go by without saying one more thing about tasting. So many of us come into our worship services and we see what's happening down here on the front. And we see people that are getting prayed for. And we've been in these situations where somebody has laid their hands on someone and a wave of God's Spirit has come on them. And that's how I see the Spirit. It's like standing there at the beach. And you know how the waves come up, and sometimes we're afraid and we go running back. But sometimes we go, you know what? I am a son of the Father, and I'm going to stand here and I want to experience everything He has for me. And when His wave of the Holy Spirit hits you, and it's so heavy that it drops you to your knees, we experience that. We see it. Oh, such and such, they went down. They're on the floor. Oh, my goodness. But how many of us in our flesh want to go, that's just not right? They're falling, and that's of the flesh. Little did we know, it's our flesh of judging that. It's our flesh that judges that. How am I to know what the Father's doing? But He's doing something. Somebody lays their hands on someone and they just begin to laugh uncontrollably. And you go, and you get that where you gasp for air and you go, I don't know, Father. I don't know about that. Is that, see, our flesh, as an orphan, we want to judge what's happening instead of going, you know what? I'm just going to act and be a son, and I want to experience it. Now, the really good part about it is you don't have to be in a worship service. You can be sitting at home, and you can just say, Father, I want to experience everything that You have for me, and He can do it right there, sitting at the dinner table, sitting in your room, driving in your car. We just have to be willing. Now, I say that because you guys are a part of me and my family, and I am a part of you. And see, all this is just a process that we are all going through together. Oh yeah, get ready, because if you leave yourself open to what the Father has, you're going to have some carpet time as well. And God is going to fill you with things. But see, let me tell you something. We come for our parties, but it doesn't end right there. Because once He fills you up, just like the word that was given to Pastor Mark for this year, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, is that we're going to be filled up like a drink offering. Thing is, it doesn't stop right there. We go outside those walls and we pour out. We pour out everything that we're filled up with. Do you get it? You see? So if you're here at the worship service and you go, I think I'm going to go down. I just want them to pray for me. I don't care what happens. If I fall down, I fall down. If I don't, I don't. But you know what? It's what's all happening right inside here. Let Him fill you up with His joy and His peace and His love so that you can go out there in strength and in power and be poured out like a drink offering. Okay, we just get a glimpse now of what it's like. What it's like to be filled with His Spirit. See, the rich young man, if he would have just started selling just a little bit, Jesus said, go sell your treasure, go sell everything and give it to the poor. Just do a little bit at a time. Same thing with our tithes and our offerings. Give a little bit and watch what God does. Give a little bit of yourself. Give a little bit of your time. And watch what happens. I'm so excited for what's happening here at this church. I'm excited of what's happening in this city. Because you are here and you are part of the process of what God's going to do. And see, when you let it happen in your personal life, what happens when we all come together? Oh, man. Jesus, Your name is power, breath and living water. What a marvelous mystery it is. So we say, okay, Neil, What do I do now? I'm excited. I've gotten a taste of it. What do I have to do? See, we already get a glimpse of what it looks like to be led by the Spirit. You know, what does it look to be led by the Spirit? You look like Jesus. You do everything that Jesus did. When people see you praying for someone, when people see you just loving people, helping them out, they see Jesus. See, one thing about being led in the Spirit is that you are aware of what's happening around you in the natural and the physical, but you are also aware of what's happening spiritually around you. Now, that's a cool thing. Because I could physically see someone and go, they're hurting. But to know someone's hurting, God will show you what's going on in their spirit. What do we do when someone hurts? We immediately go to pray. So you become aware, you become conscious of what's happening, not only in the physical and the natural, but in the spiritual. See, spiritual things define the physical things. Spiritual things dominate physical things. A man, woman filled with the Spirit is brought into new creation. They're brought into a new covenant. They're brought into a new order. See, He regenerates us. His Spirit meshes with our spirit and He regenerates us. He makes us alive again. Whew. He adopts us in. See, now we relate to God as Father. We don't relate to Him in theory anymore. He is Father. Sanctification. He sanctifies us. When we're sanctified, we're in the process of the Holy Spirit revealing new things each and every day. Fresh and new things each and every day. But notice I said, it's a process. See, I was in the process of acquiring a taste for the things as a younger kid I didn't like. But I acquired the taste. It's a process. So wherever you are right now in your walk, it's okay. Just keep walking. And you will acquire a taste for everything that He has. Every single thing. What do we do? What do we do, Father? I'm going to close with these three things that we need to do. First of all, we need to put on new lenses. We need to see the Father's perspective of how He sees us. How does the Father see you? See, when you put those lenses on, you're going to see that He sees you as a son and a daughter, not as an orphan. So get a new perspective. Second thing is be open to His power. Just be open to His power. See, in Scripture, there's five powers that are revealed in Scripture. First, there's exousia, which is delegated authority. Meaning we go out in Jesus' name. By His authority, we go out. We have energia, which is energy. We're filled up with Him. He gives us the strength, the energy to go out and do. But we have to be open to it. kratos, which is dominion. When we go out doing servant evangelism, when you go out as a missionary, God gives you dominion. He gives you territory. When I pray for someone and they open up their heart, He gives me dominion into their life. What? To share God's love for them. Whew, man. Ischus, which is strength. God gives us His strength. That's so funny. His strength. Thank you, Lord. And then our favorite one is dunamis power. Miraculous dynamite power. How many of us want that? I'll take two scoopings of that. But the thing is we get to experience it all. Every little bit. So be open to His power. And the last thing is process. Be open. Be exposed to what He has. Okay? Exposure to Him. Exposure. That is daily understanding of what the Spirit is doing in our lives. Daily understanding. I want to close with one more scripture. Turn to Romans 8, and we're going to finish up. Romans 8. We're going to start in verse 12. So then, brothers, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. All those led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters. For you do not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you receive the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, and heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Just taste and see. Get rid of the distraction. Be open and taste and see and know that He's good. Thank you, Father. Y'all stand with me. Father, we ask right now that You would just help us to see the distractions in our lives, Father. That we may throw those aside and just come running to You. That we can sit at Your table and experience everything that You have for us. And to not be afraid anymore. That we can stand as sons and daughters of an awesome Father. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. We love You, Father. We praise You. Fill us up so that we can be drink offerings to be poured out, just as Your Son was poured out for us. Bless You, Father. We say happy Valentine's Day to You. You are awesome. In Jesus' name.